This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Good morning. We are live
on Instagram and Pet Life Radio. Here for you, here for your pets.
Dan Dream, hello. Life with Corgis, good morning. So get your questions ready. Hope you all had a good week. I had a pretty good week, actually. Well, I know, that's right, it's Shane's birthday. I have to have my sister remind me that it's my daughter's birthday. Well, it's also, it was my grandson's birthday yesterday. So it was Kai, just turned one. And then Shane is today. That is so funny. So, yeah. We had a gathering. Everybody was over last night for dinner. And so my youngest grandchild, but B, I don't know if you knew that, but I think Shane is ready. The baby's in the oven for her number three. So hello. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? So anyway, it's been kind of a crazy week. So on Wednesday, so I had a very busy day on Tuesday. Day ended with having to do it's never good that it happened, but it's good as far as me talking to you about spaying. So yeah, obviously there are a lot of difference of opinion. Most agree, except for one breed, the Golden Retriever, that spaying in the long haul is advantageous. Unless, of course, let's set this straight. If you have a breeding dog and this is what you do and you're a legitimate breeder and you have a work with a veterinarian, everything is good. You know what you're doing. Okay. Then there are issues that may be prevented in most cases by spaying. In the Golden Retriever, they say, no, it's statistically insignificant, but there seem to be more cancers and problems in dogs that were spayed and neutered in Goldens, but that's the only breed. They looked at the same parameters when it came to like Labradors, which are now very similar, or flat-coated retrievers. It didn't hold up. It's only the Golden. Anyway, so this beautiful, beautiful pit bull comes in, 100 pounds, it's a big dog, and she's been ADR for a couple of days. Her heat was about 8 weeks ago, 7-8 weeks ago. I'm thinking to myself, oh, by the way, ADR, very, very scientific term here, used by veterinarians all over the place, ain't doing right. So, you know, the old farmer, hey, doc, I don't know what's going on. She just ain't doing right. So anyway, that became ADR and we use it all the time. So, hey, Steve. So the issue there is, okay, just in heat 8 weeks ago, intact female, I'm thinking right away, could be pyometra. Let's take an x-ray. We take an x-ray. Oh my God. The uterus is big. We put an ultrasound probe on her and she's already has fluid. She's already leaking. That means it ruptured somewhere through the uterus or the uterine horns. And that's really bad. So we're talking, I can't wait on this surgery, even though I had a plane to catch Tuesday evening. This comes first. So anyway, we rescheduled some of my late afternoon appointments that I was going to see and leave. And instead we go into surgery. And this thing, it was one of the biggest I've ever seen. It was huge. It was leaking. We had to carefully, there was no way to get it out without even leaking more out. So we did our best and we knew that we were going to have what we call a septic abdomen. And we went ahead and we started, I mean, after we did the spay, the uterus was this big, all full of pus. It was closed. At least with an open pyometra, they're draining. But a closed pyo, there's not draining. So it's all literally the uterus is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's filled with pus. It's infection. This could be life-threatening, which is why it's so preventable. If you have a dog and you're not going to use it for breeding, and hopefully you won't, you know, we give so many people have mutts, you know, just strays, rescues, they're not being bred. Well, first rescues usually spay them before they let them out, which is very smart. So anyway, long story short, did the surgery, saw her again Friday afternoon. We put an ultrasound probe on her. She has some pockets of maybe some fluid buildup, but no, what I was worried about, are we getting effusion? If I tell you, we flushed that abdomen with about 4 liters of saline, sterile saline, to just dilute. It's a little saying in our world that dilution is the solution to pollution. So the more we basically put saline in there to dilute, and make basically, hopefully negates the effect of having still bacteria and infection in the abdomen, hopefully will be ahead. So she started eating, which is good. Temperature's been normal. Her white blood cell is very high, but it was very high beforehand as well. So we know that we're dealing with a potential, what we call a septic abdomen. We are tiptoeing. We had my colleague who was able to put an ultrasound probe. He looked at it. And again, this guy is phenomenal. And I said to him, are we looking at reopening? He goes, absolutely not. It's only been 3 days since surgery. We're expecting to see pockets. We know the uterus itself, the body of uterus, you can only take out so much. So there's going to be some infection in there. He says, just really wait it out and see what happens. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. All right. So anyway, as of then, she was doing well. So that's good. Another dog we did also on Tuesday was a smaller dog who had a very bad habit. That bad habit was getting into the hamper, and it is 8 sots. In fact, my daughter, my oldest, just sent me a text this morning that one of her dogs in the last 24 hours threw up 3 socks. Oh my God. Fortunately, it's a bigger dog. But I said to Rana, you're going to have to do, you got to keep your dirty laundry literally away from the dogs. There are dogs that like to do this stuff, and it's terrible. So we got to be really, really careful about that. So anyway, Super Zoo was great. You may have seen some of the posts I sent. You know, again, I'm introduced to some great, dogs. I was working with a company that has a really cool new litter box. And not only is it an automatic litter box, that's pretty normal now, but it's got a camera. So every time a cat goes in, you can see which cat it is. And it's much more affordable. I have their big fancy one that keeps a record of the weight. It records the cat going in, how often it goes in, how much time it spends in the box. That's amazing. And it's self-cleaning, but it's covered. A lot of cats don't like covered litter boxes. They don't like going into a dark space because remember, that's a pretty vulnerable area. When they are in the middle of doing their business and they want to be on the lookout. Remember, they're often, there are predators out there that see cats as a prey. So they're really checking out. That's why when people have cat problems and they don't want to use the litter box, I say, I always question, where do you put it? Oh, well, we have a little door. We have a little kitty door that goes down to the basement. Now, is that like a dark basement that nobody really ever uses? Yeah, but that's where no, you got to stop that. How about they tell me, well, we have it in a closet. We keep it in a closet. Well, God, guys, they don't want to go. Hey, Deb, they don't want to go into a dark. They don't want to go where they can't keep an eye on what's going on around them. Think about it. So some cats like covered litter boxes are great for the owners because there's less, you don't get the smell, you don't see it. I mean, I get it, but you have to understand cat behavior, and cats sometimes don't like going where they can't keep an eye on what is going on around them. So this one is an open box. It does the cleaning. It has a camera. All it does, it doesn't record, but you can see it. So it gives you an alert as soon as a cat walks into the box. You'll get an alert on your phone, and you can see which cat it is. So if you have a multiple cat household, that's great. It's also got this special litter that absorbs everything, and it cleans. It goes through a cleaning cycle when the cat leaves, and you can keep that litter in there for, like, let's say, about a month. And then you want to change out the litter. So anyway, it's really cool. But the best part about it is it's from Petkit and it's $199, which is really good because the one that I have is like $800. So it is new stuff. One thing about this conference, when I go to Super Zoo, it's huge. And there are so many. I saw this really cute thing. Hey, JB, there's a cute little thing that I saw that I just stopped to talk about it because I love the name. And I'm walking by. Like deodorant riders all over the place, stain removers, all that. That's great. But I love the name. This was Piss Off. So it's like that name, what a great name. I got a chance at all. So it does it. It removes the stain. It's odor. It's natural. It doesn't destroy your carpeting. I just thought it was such a cute name. I did a little spot with them as well. And Piss Off. The best kitty fountain. There are many out there. Again, some of them have cameras. The other thing I liked a lot. So we have one that just, it depends. First of all, it's interesting how many cats. I have a lot of cats. One of them not only loves to drink water, learned how to turn the faucet on by himself. The problem is he didn't learn how to turn it off. So, he'll get into there. He lets it, the Steph, hey, Steph, he, Nancy Cremo, oh my God. Nancy's, boy, I'm getting some people that I've known for years and years and years have disappeared off the face of the earth, at least to me. Nancy, how are you? I hope you're doing fine. Say hello sometime. So anyway, the automatic feeders, they're water, they have a faucet, it sits there and it does automatically, which is really good. And it's great to just see these cats like to drink water, but it has to be running water. It's got to be like a fountain something. So anyway, there are a number of them out there. I don't know if there's the best because they're all the same principle. I have one. It works fine. I love to see my cats over. One cat likes sink water better. from the faucet, but I don't turn it on for him. Oh, I had to rig away that he can't turn it on by himself, of course, because I've gone in the kitchen sometimes and that water is running full steam. Could have been doing that all night long. No wonder my water bill is so high. But anyway, he does like drinking from the fountain. But there's another thing I like, and this is great too. I think we talked about this before. So it's a little device, goes on a counter. And again, it's two-way. You can talk to your pet, you see the pet, you call them over, and then when you ask them to do something like sit, you hit a button on your phone and it throws a treat at them. So it's basically self-rewarding, and you can keep an eye on your pets while you're gone. You can keep them occupied. You can throw treats at them for being good. That's really cute. I love that stuff. Here's another question. Oh, so my sister, good question. I don't know. Let me say hi to people. There is something going on here in the West Side, and it's the Venice Canals. We don't know what it is, and they've been testing. B, you talked about, you know, maybe it's the algae, blue-green algae, which is very toxic. You know, it's kind of behaving like blue-green algae, but with blue-green algae, they're actually swimming in this stuff. They're drinking. Here, they say some of the animals really didn't do much except walk through the canals. I'm thinking, I mean, again, my mind goes to the bad place because it is so localized. It's happened so many times that I think there are 12, 13 dogs now that have been at least died, many more sick. And they've tested for cyanobacteria, which is the bacteria in blue-green algae. And apparently that was negative. They're looking at the toxins. I think there is something very sinister going on here because I'm wondering about some sort of toxin. Someone weirdo is laying it out. I don't know. But I've been seeing less about them. But I haven't. In fact, I was going to do a story on an Inside Edition. And, oh, by the way, I did a story. It's going to air this week, I think, on Inside Edition on sunscreen for pets. We got to talk about that, too. Anyway, we don't know the answer, Beth. We don't know what it is yet. My first thought, by the way, was blue-green algae because it's when I've done stories on cyanobacteria, which is the blue-green algae, it's exactly what it is. They go into a stream or a lake somewhere that has the algae, but people don't know it, and they swim, and they're dead an hour later. That is so scary to me. Again, you see algae, you see a different color to water. Do not let your dogs swim in it because it potentially could be deadly. Let's see. Any questions? There was another question. 5 pounds, my house, my 3 cats. Yes. I know it's great if you have good, if you have cats that you think aren't drinking, all right, then you want to definitely try fountains, try water fountain, because a lot of cats, for some reason, they love the dripping water. They don't want to lap it up from a bowl. They actually like it coming down from some source. It's either a faucet or a fountain, so that's good. As far as the name of the camera, JB, I'll get it for you. There are a couple of companies out there. The one that I've been working with now has an automatic feeder, not where you can adjust when you want it to deliver food. So it's the same kind of principle where you can hit a button and it'll deliver food. And again, it has the camera, and that's PetKit, P-E-T-K-I-T. But there are some others that are look like a little, I'll get the names, but they're pretty cool. I love the principle. All right, I see it's time. Let's take a break here on Pet Life Radio. You guys hang on for a second because I will talk during the break and I want to talk about some other things that are really important, including the sunscreen issues. So we'll come back after these short messages from our sponsors here at Pet Life Radio. Don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're here live again. So we're talking about one of my cats real quick. So anyway, yes, he usually, when I'm preparing my dog's food, he'll jump on the counter. He likes to eat some of the dog food as well. And I give him a little teeny bit just to keep him happy. And this is, we're going years of this. That was his shtick. So the next day, Tuesday morning, the day I was leaving, again, he didn't really eat. So I check him out, feel him, his color was good. I feel his belly and his kidneys literally, instead of like this, were like this. I'm talking huge. Oh my God, this is abnormal. So I bring him in. we get some blood, get some urine, and start them on some fluids. And, you know, I want to get some answers. So we do an in-house test because I can't wait for tomorrow because I was going to be Wednesday in Vegas at Super Zoo. And his kidney values are off the charts. So we take a picture, an x-ray, and his lungs are also full of fluid. We drain a bunch of fluid off of his chest, and we sent the x-rays off to a radiologist for review, and they feel that there is pleural effusion. That's, you know, basically it's liquid fluid inside the chest cavity. So we drain a bunch off, send that off for evaluation. I come back the next day, Tuesday night. I pick him up from the hospital. He was in the hospital on IV. We leave the catheter rings. I'm going to bring him back on Thursday. And I do also an aspirate of his kidneys. So anyway, long story short, he refuses to eat. He's such a sick cat. You know, I don't want to put him to sleep until I get some answers. So we get the answers. Renal lymphoma, large cell renal lymphoma is huge. So immediately I start him on a medicine called vincristine, and I give him injectable. He won't eat anything. He hates even being force fed. So I put him injectable steroids and bring him home. The weekend, we're giving him subcutaneous fluids because we don't have anybody at the hospital. You know, I don't want to keep him in the hospital overnight with nobody there anyway. So P.S., we're force feeding him, and he just still doesn't want to eat. But this morning, I felt his kidneys, and they are almost back to normal. This vincristine, this anti-lymphoma drug, literally did its job. Now, is it too late? Here's my take-home lesson, especially with cats. They will not let you know they are sick until they just can't hide it anymore. 8 weeks ago, his bloods were perfect. That means this thing could have been going on, but it takes usually 2/3 or 3/4 of kidney mass to be destroyed, whether it's by infection, by it's just old, you know, chronic kidney disease, or in this case, lymphoma, before you might start seeing changes in the blood test. It's bizarre. So take home lesson, stay on top of your pets, especially older pets. When they hit 7 or 8 years old, you should be in annually for checkups. But so even annually, some may not be enough, but any change, even if it's a small change in behavior, literally, I saw it noticed on Monday. When it happened again Tuesday, I brought him in. Unfortunately, even that wasn't soon enough, whether or not it would have made a difference. And then also when you take tests, you got to wait a day or two to get the results. You don't want to treat for something like cancer if it wasn't cancer. If it was just chronic kidney disease, then that I can buy it. So now I'm stuck in a quandary because he still looks like crap and he's not eating, but his kidneys are almost down to normal size. So I'm just keeping him alive, literally, just to see. I want the stuff to kick in. And today I'm going to take him in. I've been giving him fluids every day, but I'm going to try to get him on an appetite stimulant, an anti-nausea medication, just to see if I can get this sucker to start eating again, then we have a chance. So anyway, but it's, again, woe is me, but that's my lesson. Just keep an eye on your pets and don't wait for them to really be bad. When you start seeing a change in an older pet, even though you may have taken blood 8 weeks before and they were fine, you got to have them checked out again because this stuff can sneak up on you. Less so with dogs, more so with cats, but still, dogs are babies. They start letting you know really early. Cats, however, they will fight it and fight it. He was literally Sunday, a day before he stopped, he was jumping up on the counter when I was feeding my dogs, getting his food. It is crazy. All right, sunscreen. So there was a story that came out, I think it was in the New York Times or one of the Wall Street Journal, about the potential toxicity of sunscreen for our pets, our dogs mostly, and even for cats, white cats, they get on their ears. So I started doing some homework, and basically the homework is this. The bottom line is there are no human sunscreens unless they're supernatural. Most of them have zinc oxide, have salicylates, have the benzenes, anything that looks, any name that is big enough that you either can't pronounce or don't know what it is, don't use it on your dogs. There are two issues here. Number one, with the salicylates, for example, locally, all right, aggressive, they can cause some skin irritation, all right? Now, what happens to a cat or a dog when their skin is irritated? What do dogs do? Now, let's think of it this way, to put it into perspective. I've heard people say, well, God, if it's safe for a baby, it's SPF 50, it's got to be safe for your pet. Oh, yeah? When was the last time a baby licked their lotion off or their spray off? They don't do that. So if it doesn't irritate the skin, that doesn't mean it's okay for a pet. because pets are going to lick things off. And a lot of these things are very, very toxic or irritative to the actual GI tract. So you need to avoid. I bought a bunch in the store, and every single one had those huge, long names I couldn't even pronounce. And you read up on them. If you go online and look at safe sunscreens for pets, they'll tell you all the ingredients that are so potentially dangerous, either because they are irritative to the skin or from toxic to the GI tract from licking that can cause, severe side effects. For example, many of you may know this, some don't, that's okay. Salicylates. What is the most famous product that we take that is salicylic acid? Any guesses? Aspirin. Aspirin. Now, is aspirin in low doses, right? Usually it's a baby aspirin, 81 milligrams per every 15 to 20 pounds of body weight that you can use as a short term because you have nothing else at home. For a dog, yes, you can use it. But what happens to us even if we take too much aspirin or any NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories? What happens? GI upset, gastric ulcers, same thing in pets. So if you can't monitor what's getting in and you give them some of these meds that have some sort of salicylates in them, then you are looking for trouble. So there are, and I found this out too, and oh, by the way, most sunscreens, dog or cat or people, are not FDA approved because who thinks that they're going to eat them? So you got to be careful. There are a number of brands. I found like 5 brands of pet safe, certified pet safe sunscreens if you're going to use them. Now, more importantly, which pets need sunscreen and why? So first of all, unless you're bald, you don't put sunscreen on top of your head. All right, why? Because hair is a great blocker and skin protectant. Most dogs have coats of hair, so on their bodies, what would a dog need and why? Well, first of all, certain breeds, like the collies, have long snouts, and their hair on the snout is very thin. There's something called DLE, discoid lupus erythematosus, and that is an immune-mediated disease, and it's sun-induced in many cases. So if you have sun-induced skin disease, then obviously you'd want to put block there. Cats, for example, their ears, white cats especially, and if you look at a cat, the area right in front in their temporal area, the hair is very, very thin. And so, of course, they can get sun there as well, sun poison. Now, roll your dog over and check out his groin or her groin and sometimes even the chest. And we're going to see much thinner coat, much thinner, sometimes no hair at all, like in the groin area. So if you have a dog that likes to sit outside and loves to sit on their back, right, then they're, again, subjected to sunburn. And so you want to protect that area. And again, tops of ears. And also, like a lot of light dogs, like some, pit bull terriers, pit bulls in general, bull terriers, Dalmatians. If you look at dogs that have very, very, very short hair and white, if you can see their light pinkish skin through their coat, these dogs need sunscreen. So there are a couple of different types of sunscreen you can get. Some are like a balm, like your deodorant stick. It's a thick gel. You stick your finger and rub it in. I like those for areas where they're specific areas. The cat's in the temporal area, the dog's on the snout, okay? And sprays for areas that are larger, and you don't want to goop. It's like, why I don't like triple antibiotic ointment sometimes as opposed to a spray? Because the ointments, once something is thick and goopy, the dog isn't going to want to try to lick it off. In the case of safe sunscreens, it's not going to hurt them, but they're licking off the screen. So what good is it going to do? Now, what about the snout and the nose? That's a tough one. Why? Because you put something on a dog's nose, and guess what? They are going to lick it off as fast as they can. So what I recommend doing, let me see what else is here. Heat stroke. I will. That's a good one. Anytime you're putting something on a snout, what I recommend is doing it. There we go. We use sunscreen spray called Kula, a pet spray made in France. Good. There are those out there. I guess my take-home lesson here is don't use human products at all. The way you want to do it is put the salve on, I like this for like the balm, like the deodorant stick or the salve. Literally put it on, rub it in. You've already prepared their meal and right away put their food down. You want to get them to eat the food immediately. They'd rather do that than lick something off their nose. And then if that can stay on for even 5 minutes, it'll get absorbed, and then that'll provide the protection that's needed. So that's what I'd recommend. Okay, heat stroke, cloud chaser, yes. So how sad that you're bringing, I mean, it's appropriate you're bringing this up now. So my daughter gets a call from a friend of hers just the other day, and I don't want to go through the specifics. It's sad, but a dog was left in the car. And almost like these stories you hear about babies drowning, everybody thought the other person knew about it, the other person, and it didn't. Wait a second, where's the dog? The dog was left in Florida, all right? You know how hot and muggy it gets in Florida, in a car for 2 hours. When they realized it, where's the dog? Oh my God, everyone says, still in the car. So what happened was they ran out. One of my daughter's friends, when they used to live in LA, the dog was so hot, it hurt to touch it. The temperature must have been 107, 108 degrees, and it could barely breathe. They started, they wet it down with cool water, not tap water, not ice cold water. That shocks the system. And they tried, and the dog passed away. I mean, that is horrendous. The wind is nothing. They didn't prepare. It wasn't like they were running in, which you don't want to do that either. Running into the store to pick up the dry cleaning for you're going to be away for 2 minutes and you leave the windows cranking to park in the shade. Now, if that's all it was, is that okay? How about the cars like Tesla that now can leave the air conditioning on? They have a dog mode, which I think is fantastic. And it leaves the air conditioner on while you're out of the car. But inevitably, every single one of these stories, what happens is you meet somebody, you start cleaning, and then he's, oh my God, the coffee shop is right next door. Oh, I'll just run to get the coffee. I mean, whatever it is, it never works out well. So my recommendation is don't do it. And here's a perfect example. And also there was another case I heard, we were talking about this with a poor dog. Not that you can ever equate a dog with a child, but for many, it is an equation. They do equate because the dog is their child. A little three-year-old was drowned in a pool. And same kind of thing. The husband thought the kid was outside by itself, but they have a baby gate. They didn't realize the baby gate didn't latch. And all of a sudden the dog is barking. And what is he doing? He's watching an effing sports show, and he bet on the game, and he is so intrigued, he ignored the barking dog. And then it quieted down for a second. You know why it quieted down? Because the kid was not flapping to try to save its life. And I mean, these are the horrendous stories you hear all the time. Don't be a statistic, all right? Do not leave your dogs in a car, parked car, without you in it, even for a minute, even in the shade, because you're begging for this disaster, and it's terrible. All right. I hope I made my point strong enough on that one, guys. Yes, it just happened. Thank you for the recommendations, by the way. Thank you so much, JB. Gila, how are you? I haven't talked to you in a while. Anyway, so I've, of course, run over my time. I'm getting dirty looks from Mark, our producer. So I want to wave Mama Sue. Hello. So thank you so much for joining me. I hope you learned something today. Please, please, keep a close watch on your aging pets. Things can change literally in days. Just ask me about Ollie. Number two, dogs, park cars. Keep your cats hydrated. Fountains are great. And, sunscreens. Be really careful when you're doing sunscreens. So, yes, we need an hour. I'd love it. I would love it, but I can't do it. But, yes, just save your questions. We'll get to them. And you know how to reach me. And also, by the way, I see a lot of names here. We have new names, friends that might benefit from spending a little time with us for a half hour Sunday mornings. Please tell them, just follow me on Instagram, Werbs_DVM. What they'll get is an alert every time we start the show, and then they can join us and ask questions away. I know this works. I get a lot of referrals. How'd you hear about me? Oh, my friend, whoever talked about these things, the referrals really help. And the more people that join us, the more people I can help. And to me, other than my first love, and it still is seeing patients. That's why I always, I have friends that sort of, I wouldn't say traded in their practice, but like good people, good veterinarians that are liking to do Instagram and TikTok more than seeing patients. I'm not one of those guys. I do this half hour a week. I love it. I love helping people. When I work with these companies to help market their products, if I believe in the product, like Leap Years or my Scribble Vet for veterinarians or Pet Kit for people, I'll do that as well. But I have to like the product. But I'm not going to stop seeing patients to do this stuff. I have fun. It's great. Back in the day when I was doing a bunch of TV, on my Inside Edition and KTLA 5 and KCAL CBS, I still love doing that stuff. And I do it. They call me. And when they call me, I'm there. But Again, like I usually those out on a Sunday or early morning where it doesn't interfere with my seeing my patients. So for me, that's first and foremost. I would love to have your friends, pets as patients. Just warn them that sometimes it gets pretty busy in my office and there may be a wait, but I never say no. So if a pet needs to be seen, I will use up my free time in order to see their pet. And that's been my motto and my goal for almost 42 years. So that's kind of why I'm here. All right. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. And we will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. During the week, if you need me, Dr. Jeff, drjeff.com, drjeff@petliferadio.com. You can send me stuff if you send to Pet Life. Mark forwards them to me. So we will make sure that we can help you as much as we can, because that's something that I love to do. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.